Dhruva Maharaj had been terribly insulted. In one sense, not terribly insulted, because he's just a boy. And the nature of children in general is that if they have a like or a dislike, they'll forget it very quickly. Whether they like something or don't like something, it's somewhat irrelevant, because the mind is very fickle, changing. So the thing we like one moment, especially for children, if they really want something and they're crying for it, I want it, and then you go, oh, look at that over there, there's a bird over there. No, they'll completely forget that thing that they are, that their mind was so intensely focused upon. But yet, Dhruva Maharaj was insulted very unnecessarily, harshly, enviously, by his stepmother, Suruchi, saying, you cannot sit on Uttanapad's lap or the throne, your father's throne, even though you are his son, because you are not my son. Your mother is another, the king's other wife. So she said this right in front of the king himself, and Dhruva Maharaj was so insulted. Why was he so insulted? He had a very strong warrior nature, even though he was 5-6 years old. Very determined. To be a warrior, one has to be proud. One has to have some pride in him. You cannot speak to me like this. You challenge me to fight, I will kill you. Warrior has to be like that. You've insulted my honor. Fight to the death. We used to see movies like that, when the man walks over to someone with his glove and he slaps him across the face, and that was enough to cause a fight to the death, because that's an insult. So this is the nature of fighters, warriors. So Dhruva Maharaj, even though he was a boy, he was a thoroughbred. He was a pedigree, so to speak, kshatriya. Nowadays everyone is a mutt. Just mixed breeds, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But Dhruva Maharaj was a pedigree kshatriya warrior. So he went, he was breathing heavily, he went crying actually to his mother. And then when she understood what had happened, how the boy had been insulted in front of the father, she told him that, you've come to me crying, but how can I help you? Your father, the king, he doesn't truly even think of me as his wife. I'm his second wife. But who can help you? You should go to him, and that person who can help you truly, who has more mercy and kindness and helping ability more than hundreds of mothers. And you go to that Lord, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, and seek his shelter. And then she gave some examples how this is in your family tradition, because also the kshatriyas, the warriors, they were very much proud of their lineage. So your great-grandfather Brahma, he achieved the Lord's mercy, and by that he had the potency to create. And your grandfather Swayambhuva Manu, he too achieved the Lord's mercy. So if you want to actually sit on the throne, what Suruchi has said, your stepmother has said, is correct. You will need God's mercy to do that. And she said, you will have to get that mercy. So you should find that, and you should get that. You should perform pure devotional service, unflinching, fixed. Control your mind, focus your consciousness upon the Lord. And then, that which is impossible to get, you will get. if you somehow please the Lord. Because Krishna, the Lord, is very kind to his devotees, more kind again than hundreds of mothers can be. So, in text 24, we read 1 through 23 yesterday. Today we'll start with 24. What we'll do in this part of the chapter, there are many little purports of Srila Prabhupada's that are quite instructive. So we'll read the verses and then we'll hear something of the purports too. We'll go back and hear the purports. So when Dhruva, the young boy, when he heard the instructions of his mother to take shelter of the Lord, he considered it. We'll read the verse. The instruction of Dhruva Maharaj's mother, Suniti, was actually meant for fulfilling his desired objective. He wanted the kingdom, and Suniti said, to actually get the kingdom, achieve the kingdom, you'll have to do what Sarishi, your stepmother, has said. Take shelter of the Lord. So when Dhruva understood this, so it was said in a mocking way by Suruchi, but Suniti said, yes, this is actually true. Therefore, after deliberate consideration and with intelligence and fixed determination, Dhruva left his father's house. Now, always keep in mind as we're hearing this pastime that the boy was maybe 6 years old. Here is Prabhupada's purport. Now this is a very favorite purport of mine, so I humbly request you to listen carefully. It's not even long. Both the mother and the son were lamenting. Both the mother and the son were lamenting Dhruva Maharaj as having been insulted by his stepmother, and his father's not having taken any step on this issue. But, so that was the cause of what they were lamenting. But mere lamentation is useless. One should find out the means to mitigate one's lamentation. Thus both mother and son decided to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, because that is the only solution to all material problems. It is indicated in this connection that Dhruva Maharaj left his father's capital city to go to a secluded place to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So take shelter of the Lord, that's the solution. Now where is the Lord? How can I take shelter of him? So he left his home, the comfortable home where he had servants, where he was the prince, everyone would do what he said, comfort, 6 years old. And he went to go to a secluded place so he could focus his mind on his desire to find the Supreme Lord. It is the instruction of Prahlad Maharaj also that if one is seeking peace of mind, he should free himself from all contamination of family life. Vanam gato yad harim ashrieta hitvatma pattam Kriyamanda Kupam. Give up family life. This is what Prahlad Maharaj said to his father. His father said, what is the best thing? His father was an atheist, a demon, demonic person, thought he was the greatest. And he asked him, what did you learn in school today? And he said, Tatsarumani Suravarjita Dehinam. He didn't call him father, he called him Asuravarjita, the best of the demons. My dear best of the demons, what is the best thing? Tatsaramanye Asuravarjita Dehinam Sarasamudna Vigna Asatpatat Diyam Asatpatat. You should give up the asat, the temporary. Give up this family life. And what should I do? Vanam gato yad. Harim Ashrieta, go to the forest, especially Vrindavan. And there, Harim Ashrita. You take shelter of the Lord. So, it is the instruction of Prahlad Maharaj also that if one is seeking peace of mind, he should free himself from all contamination of family life, all false security, and take shelter of the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Godhead, by going to the forest. To the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this forest is the forest of Vrinda, or Vrindavan. If one takes shelter of Vrindavan, under Vrindavanishwari, Srimati Radharani, certainly all the problems of his life are solved very easily. So the boy, 6 years old, left home. Went to the forest. Now, the great sage Narada heard this news, and understanding all the activities of Dhruva Maharaj, he was struck with wonder. How does a six-year-old boy become determined to go to the forest to find God? Usually if a child wants something, you know, he's crying, he's so upset, the worst thing has happened, you say, okay, take a sweet, have some popcorn, go outside and play, here's a toy. You go to the movies and the child will forget everything. This boy was not like that. So Narada Muni heard about Dhruva Maharaj's determination to find Krishna and he was struck with wonder. He approached Dhruva and touching the boy's head with his all virtuous hand, he spoke as follows. So he blessed the boy. I will read this purport. Very interesting purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was talking with his mother, Suniti, of all the incidences that had taken place in the palace, Narada was not present. Thus the question may be raised how Narada overheard all these topics. Natural question. The answer is that Narada is Trikalagya. Now, Trikalagya. Tri means three. Past, present, and future. Kala, time. The three phases of time, and gya means knowing. So he was aware of everything that happened. This is what Prabhupada's saying here. He was aware of everything that happened, past, present, and future. So he's aware of what happened to Dhruva Maharaj. So that's the answer that Prabhupada has given here, as how Narada heard, even though he wasn't present. He is so powerful that he can understand the past, present, the past, future, and present of everyone's heart, just like the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, after understanding the strong determination of Dhruva Maharaj, Narada came to help him. Now, so that's one understanding, and Prabhupada just gave it. But here is an explanation, another explanation of what that very same Trikalagya potency of Narada is. Because if he's he's not God, actually. Narada is not a God. He's not God. He's not all-pervading super soul. But yet, he's being compared to the super soul. And the super soul knows everything. We can't even imagine what consciousness the super soul has. He's aware of everyone's thinking at every moment. That means each one of us are thinking something. We're individuals. We're thinking something different. And not only us, there's millions of people, billions of people. And not only there are billions of people, there's so many birds and trees and bugs and lions and tigers and mice. And he's aware of everyone. So just imagine what Prabhupada is saying about Narada Muni, that he's aware of everything at all times. Just imagine if you were aware of everything at all times. Get quite confusing. But he's so powerful. Well, here's what now Prabhupada explains it in a different way. It may be explained in this way. Because actually a great devotee is not God. It is not that he understands and knows everything and is aware of everything at the same time. Not actually. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, it may be explained in this way, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart. So it is Krishna who is present in everyone's heart. And as soon as he, the Lord, understands that a living entity is serious about entering devotional service, he sends his representative. So the representative of the Lord becomes aware of things as Krishna wants him to become aware of them. It is Krishna who is aware of everything. And as for the service of the Lord, when Krishna wants his great devotee to be aware of something, he makes him aware of something. So he sends his representative. In this way, Narada was sent to Dhruva Maharaj. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasari Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, one can enter into devotional service. So the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. That means that when Krishna wants to benedict someone, this is how he benedicts someone. He carries Krishna's kripa shakti, or Krishna's mercy. So who is doing it? Is it the person, or is it the spiritual master, or the Vaishnava, or the devotee? Or is it Krishna? So it is Krishna doing it through the devotee. So you can't say it's Krishna only, because it takes the full, sincere surrender, compassion of the devotee too. So it is Krishna and it is the devotee, the combinedness of them. So Krishna will say, it is all my devotee who is doing it. And the devotee will say, no, it's not me, it's Krishna. And Krishna will say, no, it's my devotee. The devotee will say, no, it's Krishna. So who is it really doing it? This is wonderful, actually. It's wonderful how it works. So by the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, one can enter into devotional service. Krishna won't actually allow someone... This is actually Krishna's system, that it has to be done through a devotee. Sometimes, very rarely, he himself will benedict someone, but very, 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 very rarely. This is the system. Because of Dhruva Maharaja's determination, Krishna, the Supersoul, immediately sent his representative Narada to initiate him. So there are so many things we can understand from this. Sometimes we want to know why our situation is the way it is. We want something that we don't get. But here it describes how as soon as Dhruva Maharaj had that deep determination to find Krishna, then immediately Krishna arranged the proper circumstances for him. So now we'll read several verses and then we'll go back and read the verses in purport. So Narada Muni, when he saw Dhruva Maharaj, the boy, out in the forest, and the forests were dangerous forests. They weren't just like, they weren't lizards and mice and kangaroos. They were lions and tigers and elephants and pythons. Very dangerous. So the boy was fearless there. So Narada was wondering. He was awestruck. So he said, how wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas. They cannot tolerate even a slight infringement upon their prestige. Just imagine. The boy is only a small child, yet harsh words from his stepmother proved unbearable to him. The great sage Narada told Dhruva, because his Kshatriya spirit was so strong, he was just amazed at his spirit. So this is the nature. So we could say, oh, we could say how this is a bad quality, because we're taught in the Bhagavad Gita that we should be indifferent to honor, dishonor. So we could say that's a bad quality, but he had that bad quality so deeply that it created so much power in him. And that power is going to drive his determination that will allow him to actually see Krishna face to face. So there is so much energy in things like that. You can just use them properly, even if we have pride, even if we have anger. Just use these things properly, and they will power our search and finding of Krishna. But we will have to give them up too. But that will, Krishna will arrange those circumstances. So Narada then told Dhruva, he saw him, "My dear boy, you're only a little boy whose attachment is to sports and other frivolities. Why are you so affected by words insulting your honor? My dear Dhruva, if you feel that your sense of honor has been insulted, you still have no cause for dissatisfaction. This kind of dissatisfaction is another feature of the illusory energy. Every living entity is controlled by its previous actions, and therefore there are different varieties of life for enjoying or suffering. The process of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very wonderful. One who is intelligent should accept that process and be satisfied with whatever comes, favorable or unfavorable, by his supreme will. Now you have decided to undertake the mystic process of meditation under the instructions of your mother just to achieve the mercy of the Lord. But in my opinion, such austerities are not possible for any ordinary man. It is very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After trying this process for many, many births and remaining unattached to material contamination, placing themselves continuously in trance and executing many types of austerities, many mystic yogis were unable to find the end of the path of God realization. For this reason, my dear boy, you should not endeavor for this. It will not be successful. It is better that you go home. When you are grown up, by the mercy of the Lord, you will get a chance for these mystic performances. At that time, you may execute this function. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience very easily. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate towards him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. So he instructed, Narada instructed Dhruva very intelligently, properly, but actually he was testing him to see how determined he actually was. So his instructions really go through several phases. He says, why are you... Well, Prabhupada gives a nice little purport that explains this. He said, this boy cannot even tolerate, due to his Kshatriya blood, this insult. You're a boy. You should be interested in sporting and playing. Why are you so affected by words insulting your honor? Why are you taking this seriously? You're a boy, a kid. Go do something else. Distract yourself. Or, he says, if you feel so strongly, if your sense of person is so developed, your sense of honor is so developed, that you actually can feel insulted so deeply, if you are so mature, then you should really be mature. And a mature person understands that this is just maya, this is just illusion. Someone will insult us, someone will say something nice about us. If we become happy every time someone says, oh, you're a nice person, and we become miserable every time someone says, oh, look at this person over here, blah, 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 then we're going to be on a roller coaster our whole life, up and down and up and down and up and down. And it's meaningless. What's the difference what they say? You are what you are. If they say you're good, you're still the same one who you are. And if they say you're bad, you're still the same one who you are. This is just illusion, Maya. And you're going to suffer and enjoy anyway, according to your karma. And you take your birth, and according to your karma, you'll suffer some, you'll enjoy some. So this is all Maya, getting insulted, getting so entangled. Prabhupada explained in the purport to 28, Narada Rishi first of all wanted to impress upon Dhruva Maharaj that he was only a child, and he should not have been affected by words of insult or honor. And if he was so developed as to understand honor and insult, then this understanding should have been applied in his own life. He should have known that honor and dishonor are both destined only by one's previous actions. Therefore, one should not be sorry or happy under any circumstances. So what should one be? So he's going to give him mature instructions now. So Narada says, the process of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very wonderful. One who is intelligent should accept that process. Don't be tossed around by the waves of honor and dishonor, happiness and distress. Accept this process that I'm going to tell you. Just whatever comes to you, you take it. Take it and accept that this is Krishna's will. So here's Prabhupada's short purport about this. The sage Narada. So now here are the instructions. Good instructions. How one should live one's life if one wants to be peaceful in this world. The sage Narada instructed Dhruva Maharaj that one should be satisfied in all circumstances. Actually, unless one is determined to be satisfied in all circumstances, one basically will be satisfied in no circumstances. If we don't accept that whatever I have, this is God's grace, and let me be satisfied with it, then if we don't think like that, even if we have the whole world at our disposal, we'll not be satisfied. Everyone who is intelligent should know that because of our concept of bodily existence, we are subjected to suffering and enjoyment. One who is in the transcendental position, beyond the concept of bodily life, is considered to be intelligent. One who is a devotee especially accepts all reverses as gifts of the Supreme Lord. When a devotee is put into distress, he accepts this as God's mercy and offers him the Lord repeated obeisances with his body, mind, and intellect. An intelligent person, therefore, should always be satisfied, depend on the mercy of the Lord. Narada continues, okay, now you have decided to undertake the mystic process of meditation under the instructions of your mother, just to achieve the mercy of the Lord. So you want to do this. But in my opinion, such austerities are not possible for an ordinary man. It is very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada explains in his purport something very wonderful. It is very difficult, but if one is simply sincere and determined, it is very easy. But that sincerity is difficult. And that determination is difficult. To actually be ready to accept all circumstances as Krishna's mercy, that is sincerity. That means detachment to everything other than Krishna. And that takes full sincerity. And if one has that, then everything becomes easy. And if one doesn't, it's up and down, and round. So now Narada is saying, you just accept things, what happened, Krishna's mercy. If you want to come to the forest and practice mystic yoga, very difficult, very difficult. After trying this process for many, many births and remaining unattached to material contamination, placing themselves continually in trance, In executing many types of austerities, many mystic yogis were unable to find the end of this path of God realization. For this reason, my dear boy, you've come here to come to the forest to practice this yoga. You should not endeavor for this. It will not be successful. It is better that you go home. When you are grown up, by the mercy of the Lord, you will get a chance for these mystic performances. At that time, you may execute this function. From Prabhupada's purport. Generally, people think that childhood is meant for enjoying life by engaging oneself in sport and play. Youth is meant for enjoying the company of young girls. And when one becomes old at the time of death, then he may try to execute devotional service or a mystic yoga process. But this conclusion is not for devotees who are actually serious. The great sage Narada is instructing Dhruva Maharaj just to test him. He's telling him this, seeing what he's really thinking. Because if he's not going to be determined, he's not going to succeed. So he's shaking him a little bit. Actually, the direct order is that from any point of life, one should begin rendering devotional service. Any point of life, Prabhupada, means that whenever you wake up, whenever we wake up and understand that life is short and it has a purpose, and that purpose is to develop our love of God, from that time onward, one should take to devotional service. But it is the duty of the spiritual master to test the disciple to see how serious his desires to execute devotional service. Then he may be initiated. And now Narada is going to give two verses in telling him how he should go home and act like this. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience, of ignorance, very easily. Prabhupada's purport. When we enjoy life and so-called material happiness, it is to be understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our pious activities. And then when we are put into suffering, it is to be understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our impious activities. Instead of being attached to the circumstantial happiness and distress resulting from pious or impious activities, if we want to get out of the clutches of this nescience, then whatever position we are put in by the will of the Lord, we should accept. Thus, if we simply surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we shall get out of the clutches of this material existence. Narada continues. So these are very important, strong instructions that Narada is giving Dhruva. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified, he should be compassionate. When he meets someone equal, he should make friendship with him. In this way, never be affected by the threefold miseries of this world. So one will be steady if one can do this. Because one is basically a well-wisher of everyone in that way. No envy in the heart will sit. Prabhupada's purport. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. These are the causes of material tribulation. The great sage Narada therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified person, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate towards him, just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within the material world. So Narada spoke to Dhruva Maharaj in this way. So good instructions. Now here's Dhruva Maharaj's reply. We'll read the verses, and then we'll go over some of the points from the purports. Dhruva Maharaj said, My dear Lord Naradaji, for a person whose heart is disturbed by the material conditions of happiness and distress, whatever you have so kindly explained for attainment of peace of mind is certainly very good instructions. Thank you. But as far as I am concerned, I am covered by ignorance, and this kind of philosophy does not touch my heart. My dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault. It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. My stepmother, Saruchi, has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instructions do not stand in my heart. Oh, learned Brahmana, so what do I want? I can't do what you say, but what do I want? I want to occupy a position more exalted than any yet achieved within the three worlds by anyone, even by my fathers and grandfathers. If you will oblige, kindly advise me of an honest path to follow by which I can achieve the goal of my life. So amazing, because his grandfather, great-grandfather, was Brahma, who was the Lord of the universe. The universe means everything. So he wanted a kingdom bigger than everything, because he's a young boy, he's 6 years old. I want something so big, bigger than everything, bigger than my grandfather's. My dear Lord, you are a worthy son of Lord Brahma, and you travel playing on your musical instrument, the Veena, for the welfare of the entire universe. You are like the sun, which rotates in the universe for the benefit of all living beings. So please, he's saying, you travel for the welfare of everyone. Now here is what I want for my welfare. You please instruct me so I can have this great kingdom. So here are Prabhupada's purports to that. So first he said, your instructions are so good, they will remove the ignorance of the material condition of happiness and distress. Your good instructions will certainly remove it. But unfortunately, my ignorance is so thick covering my heart that this philosophy cannot pierce the ignorance. It does not touch my heart. I should do this, I should do that. I'm angry. I want a big kingdom. Prabhupada explains in after the first few sentences of the purport. Dhruva did not accept the instructions given by great sage Narada because he thought himself unfit for such instructions, which prohibited all material desires. He said, what do? I should be detached from material desires, but I can't. I have material desires. It is not a fact, however, that those who have material desires are prohibited from worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the essential instruction from the life of Dhruva. He frankly admitted that his heart was full of material desires. He was very much affected by the cruel words of his stepmother, whereas those who are spiritually advanced do not care about anyone's condemnation or adoration. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that persons who are actually advanced in spiritual life do not care for the dual behavior of this material world. But Dhruva Maharaj frankly admitted that he was not beyond the afflictions of material distress and happiness. He was confident that the instruction given by Narada was valuable, yet he could not accept it. The question raised here is whether or not a person afflicted by material desire is fit to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The answer is that everyone is fit to worship him. Akama sava kamava moksha kamo dardi tivrena bhakti yogini ajeta purushapara. Even if one has many material desires to fulfill, he should take to Krishna consciousness and worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is so merciful that he fulfills everyone's desires. Through this narration, it will become very clear that no one is barred from worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if one has many material desires. So he's saying, I'm full of desires, my dear Lord. I'm very impudent for not accepting your instructions, but it's not my fault. I'm a Kshatriya. And my stepmother Saruchi's words have pierced my heart. Therefore, because of this, I cannot hold your instructions in my heart. Here's Prabhupada's purport. It is said that the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot. And if you've been to India, you've seen the clay pots. And just imagine, once broken, it cannot be repaired by any means. You throw them down on the ground and they don't just break or crack, they shatter into so many pieces. Can we repair an earthen pot? Dhruva Maharaj gave this example to Narada Muni. He said that his heart, having been pierced by the arrows of his stepmother's harsh words, felt so broken that nothing seemed valuable but his desire to counteract her insult. His stepmother had said that because he was born from the womb of Suniti, a neglected queen of Maharaj Uttanapad, Dhruva Maharaj was not fit to sit either on the throne or his father's lap. In other words, according to his stepmother, he could not be declared king. Dhruva Maharaj's determination, therefore, was to become king of a planet exalted even beyond that possessed by Lord Brahma, the greatest of the demigods. Dhruva Maharaj indirectly informed the great sage Narada that there are four kinds of human spirit: the Brahminical spirit, the Kshatriya spirit, the Vaishya spirit, and the Sudra spirit. The spirit of one caste is not applicable to the members of another. The philosophical spirit enunciated by Narada Muni might have been suitable for a Brahmana spirit, but it was not suitable for a Kshatriya. Dhruva frankly admitted that he was lacking in Brahminical humility and was therefore unable to accept the philosophy of Narada Muni. The statement of Dhruva Maharaj indicates that unless a child is trained according to his tendency, there is no possibility of his developing his particular spirit. It was the duty of the spiritual master or teacher to observe the psychological movement of a particular boy and thus train him in a particular occupational duty. Dhruva Maharaj, having already been trained in the Kshatriya spirit, would not accept the Brahminical philosophy. So Dhruva continued, O learned Brahmana, O Narada, what I do want, I can't do what you say. I can't be tolerant and forgiving and just focus my mind on Krishna and forget happiness and distress. That's not what I want. What I do want, I want to occupy a position more exalted than any yet achieved within the three worlds by anyone, even by my fathers and grandfathers. If you will oblige, if you will be so kind to me, please help me, advise me of an honest path to follow by which I can achieve the goal of my life. Here's Prabhupada's purport. When Dhruva Maharaj refused to accept the Brahminical instructions of Narada Muni, naturally the next question would be what kind of instruction he wanted. So even before Narada Muni asked, Dhruva Maharaj expressed his heartfelt desire. His father, of course, was the emperor of the entire world, and his grandfather, Lord Brahma, was the creator of the universe. Dhruva Maharaj expressed his desire to possess a kingdom better than those of his father and grandfather. He frankly stated he wanted a kingdom which had no competitor within the three worlds, namely the higher, middle, and lower planetary systems. The greatest personality within this universe is Lord Brahma, and Dhruva Maharaj wanted a position even greater than his. Brahma means the great one. And Dhruva Maharaj wanted a position even greater. He wanted to take advantage of Narada Muni's presence because he knew very well that if Narada Muni, the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna, could bless him or show him the path, then certainly he would be able to occupy a more exalted position than any person within the three worlds. Thus he wanted help from Naradaji to achieve that position. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a position greater than that of Brahma. This was practically an impossible proposition. But by pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee can achieve even the impossible. So then he says that you can you've traveled all over the world doing good for others. You're like the sun that has so much power. I have full confidence in your ability to award this to me, even though what I want is so extraordinary. So that's what Dhruvaraj how he replied to Narada. And we'll stop there. Well, let me just read a little bit of that last purport. The example of the sun, he said, you are like the sun, is very significant. The sun is so kind that he distributes his sunshine everywhere without consideration. Dhruva Maharaj requested Narada Muni to be merciful to him. He pointed out that Narada travels all over the universe just for the purpose of doing good to all conditioned souls. He requested that Narada Muni show his mercy by awarding him the benefit of his particular desire. Dhruva Maharaj was strongly determined to fulfill his desire, and it was for that purpose that he had left his home and palace. So that determination of Dhruva Maharaj, born of his anger, born of the insult, the negative situation, turned out to be the greatest blessing of his life, because born of that insult and anger, the greatest determination appeared. Very wonderful. Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Any comments? And Narada Muni is going to take advantage of that determination, even though it is materialistically driven, but he's going to take advantage of that power and instruct him in such a way that he is going to gain his desire and lose that desire simultaneously due to him actually seeing Krishna. So, questions or comments? Yep.
Just clarification for me. You read somewhere that being joyful when you see someone who
wants
himself, making friends with those equal and being compassionate to those less spiritually described to yourself.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada states that they help us to overcome these three miseries. And when I first heard you state that, I was a bit confused as far as, like, say, the miseries caused by the day the labors, because I just couldn't work that out. Is it because if we act in that way, it helps to remain fully satisfied, and when one is fully satisfied, we can overcome three misery?
The basic idea is, if one acts in this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this world.
Yeah.
So, if one doesn't act in this way, then when one sees someone who is better, we become envious. If someone is equal, we're still envious. We tell them all the good things we're doing, and when someone is less than us, we crush them. So all those are envy. They're different forms of envy and pride. And what Narada Muni is suggesting is just the opposite, to be very open-hearted and Krishna conscious. So if someone is more qualified, be happy. And instead of being envious of his qualification, be happy and try to serve him. And when someone's equal, you have a friend to open up the heart to. And if someone's less, show compassionate. So instead of having an envious, hard heart, one has a soft and gracious heart. So if one has a soft and gracious heart, a Krishna conscious heart, then one will be happy in this world. If one is envious, it attracts misery, because you're fighting the unit, you're fighting Krishna basically, you're fighting the material energy, taking it on, you're going to lose. And therefore, one will for so many reasons, one will be miserable.
Because at first impression was that I could understand that behaving in that way, one could overcome the miseries caused by the mind and body and by other living entities, like say with insults, etc. But when it came to say the miseries caused by supernatural powers, I at first couldn't understand how that could be.
But connected to what was said before, that keep yourself satisfied in any condition of life. So it's not, first of all, the instructions go together. But the ultimate cause of misery is not either the demigod sending earthquakes and rain, it's envy. And that we want to be God, we want to be the controller. That's the cause. So when the demigods dare to do something that happens to inconvenience us, we get unhappy. So that's envy of Krishna. Or if another living entity does something that dares to inconvenience us, we become unhappy. That's envy of Krishna. So so this is to remove that. So be satisfied with what Krishna gives us. We deserve, even if it's something bad happens, something that we've done in previous lives, this life, and we're getting some reaction. Who can we complain against? Complain about? Let's be happy, chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping Krishna. But that takes a freedom from envy to do that. And similarly, to treat people in this way takes a freedom from envy. And when that enviousness is gone, then one can be happy. Because envy ultimately springs from enviousness of Krishna. And that's my understanding. Yeah.
How was Krishna testing you
then? Narada. Narada Muni was the spiritual master, was testing him. Because for him to attain success the way he wanted to attain success, he was going to have to be very, very determined. So he said, no, you shouldn't do it. You're too young. Here's something else that you should do. Come back when you're older. So he tested his determination. And when he came past the test, yes, I want this. And that meant that he was ready to undergo the difficulties that naturally come with seriously following the process. And next week, we'll hear about the process and what, and there, it was very austere, very difficult.
So what? His father?
What's
that?
Narada, his father's name is Uttanapad. You've come in the second act.
Okay.
His father allowed him to be insulted. He went to the forest, and a great teacher, by Krishna's mercy, a great teacher named Narada, went to see the boy. And Narada instructed him. And these were the instructions of Narada. Because Krishna knows everything. So as soon as he sees that there's someone who wants me, even if there's material desires in the heart, he sends some help, a way of helping. So Krishna sent Narada Muni, a great teacher, to help Dhruva Maharaj. And first, before accepting him and instructing him in a way that was suitable for him, he tested him, tested his determination. Because one was going to have to be very determined to do what he wanted. He wanted to see how serious he was. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pieces fit together a little bit there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of names that you don't know. Who's who? We'll just put the pieces, you know, shift them around a little bit.
Yeah.
Put that one over there and that one over there.
I got the good bit out of it anyway.
Okay.
Who's
who?
You
can read it. That way you can take your own time and read it again.
Okay.
And you know, if you don't understand, and also the devotees, you can ask them. They'll be very happy to answer your questions. Sure.
Mujer Prabhu, you mentioned earlier that when Narada Muni knew the present, past, and future. And you mentioned that actually it's Krishna who is inspiring him.
Yeah.
So can we assume, or can we conclude that when somebody is seriously ready as a student, the teacher is already there?
That Krishna will send, if not a teacher, but a circumstance. We can't dictate how Krishna's going to deal with the person. But the point being that the lack is our sincerity as opposed to Krishna giving us what we need, you know, giving us the thing that will make it all work. If we become serious, then Krishna is going to help extra. I think that's... It's not always through a person.
Circumstance.
It's circumstance, the book or the place or the deity, or that's up to Krishna how he wants to reciprocate with us. But because the medicine has to be prescribed for the individual.
And the super soul knows best for that, what medicine is required.
He's the Adi Guru. He's the Chaitu Guru. Every other guru represents him.
You put it in the verse that even if one has material desires, you should turn to the Lord.
Yeah. Because if we waited till we don't have material desires before we turn to Krishna.
Just where is that sloka from?
Second canto. Mm-hmm. What chapter? Three. Maybe 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very important verse. A comment. That's the one of the main conclusions of the answer. Because in the last part of the first canto, Maharaj Prickett asks, well, what should I do? I'm about to die. What is the proper way to spend my time? So there's two answers he gives. One is Tasmat Sabeshu Kaleshu. Bhagavan Ishwarohari Smatabhya Satyatam. No, the pieces aren't fitting together for me either there. Yeah, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwarohari Smatavyo Kirtitavyas Cha Shratavyas Kirtitavyas Cha Smatavyo Vichsate Vayam. If you want to become free from fear, what you should do in all circumstances is always hear, chant, and remember the Lord. And then here he says, so then the question is, but I'm not pure. So then what should I do? And then the answer is really a kama sutta. Whether, no matter what your position is, whether you have material desires, have no material desires, or desire liberation, to vrena bhakti yogin, with great strength you worship. Jeta purushapra, you worship Krishna, the Lord. And that will be like, it will wash away all the impurities. And that's what happens to Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, now it's 8. So, thank you very much. So we'll have the Bhagavatam next Wednesday. And what Janmashtami is? What day?
Friday.
How come on my calendar it says Saturday? Incorrectly. So Wednesday and Thursday we'll have class. And tonight, late this evening, His Holiness Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj is coming. And he'll be giving class this weekend. How long is Maharaj staying?
Till Monday.
Early or late? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Dhruva Maharaj ki jai.